stop persistence as our history is real. A strong will can shine like gold. Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. My name is Wayne Bennett. This is episode 95, and we are at the Senior Living Center in Stuart, Florida. And the weather's nice. It's March the 10th again. And our guest today is my sister, Helen Merritt, Helen Bennett Merritt. And welcome, Helen.
Glad to have you guys here.
Now, let's go back just a little bit. When you were born, my dad and mom... did they live in Slab Fork?
No, I was born in Abraham.
Okay. And then they moved to Slab Fork.
Well, yes, because when Mom and Dad got married, he was driving a logging truck. He didn't go into the mine, so I was probably a couple years old.
Wow. And so you don't, do you remember any of your life in Slab Fork?
I remember some of it, and...
You say you remember some of it?
Yeah, when I went to the first grade down there, the schoolhouse burned down the night before Easter, and we could see it from where I lived, and I was sitting there crying. I wouldn't have anywhere to go to school. Dad said, "You ought to be happy, you ought to go to school." But then we had to go to school in the basement of the church down in town.
Of course, one famous person from Slab Fork, Bill Withers, was right. Born there. He didn't live there too long. I think he moved to Beckley, but he was born there, and I think they have a plaque, you know, on the road for him there. But now, where'd you move to after Slab Fork?
You know, I don't know. We moved to Daniels. We lived to Daniels for a while because Dad was building a house on Cow Street. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But we did live at Daniels for a while.
Now, you were about 11 years old. You were actually born right before the United States entered World War II.
Oh, I was the cause of it.
And so you were born, you were about 11 years old when I was born.
Right.
And so you lived at Gray Flats at that time. I was born in 1953. And... I'm 1950, I'm sorry, and then we moved to Clow Street in 1953. Mm-hmm. But Dad had built the house over at Gray Flats, too.
Right.
And there's not many people in this world can say they were from Gray Flats, you know. Very few of us now. But tell us what you remember in Gray Flats.
Man, that was a great part of my life because it was the age where I've always been the oldest of family, but I got to do a lot more stuff, and then I got to help raise you. Help raise two other kids. When it was time for you to be born, I had to get on my bicycle and ride out, call a cab to bring the cab. We didn't even have a phone. And the cab followed me in, took Mom and Roy General, and I had to watch the other two kids, and I was 11 years old. And I was riding on a bike, and it was turning dark. And when my dad didn't even know anything, they don't call people out of the mines for stuff like that, so. When Dad got home at night about 12 o'clock, I told him, I said, Mom's at the hospital having a baby. And he said, "Oh my goodness, so let me wash up a little bit and get up there." And so then I watched the kids the rest of the night. And when Mom come home, he was with her.
Yeah, I was the only child of the four, I guess, born in the hospital.
Yeah, I was brought into the world by the midwife.
Of course, Dad always reminded me he missed a day of squirrel hunting because squirrel season started on October the 11th.
Oh,
and
really?
He said, "You made me miss the first day of squirrel season."
That's good.
But in 53, we moved to Clow Street. Dad had built a house on Clow Street. He was very good about building houses, but he wasn't very good about building big enough houses. There was actually four kids and parents, and we had two bedrooms, and it was a little cramped for the older girls, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And tell me how we got along, because I was a youngster. I don't remember all of it, but I did sleep with my brother. I knew that. And you slept with a sister.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
There were four of us in the same bedroom with a 28-inch closet.
That was your room, wasn't it?
So we didn't have a lot of clothes, did we?
No.
When did you start going to Sylvia School? Do you remember?
You know, we moved quite a bit in and out, and that was a younger part of my life, of course. And I really don't remember, but I was there to second grade. I do remember that.
Uh-huh.
And I remember then I came in and out of school a couple times at Sylvia because we moved to Daniels and then back to Beckley. And I went back to school in about the seventh grade then, and everybody stood up and clapped when I came in the door. So that was back, you know.
Do you remember any of your teachers at Sylvia?
I remember some of the kids, but the only teacher I remember is Cecil Miller, who was the principal.
Uh-huh.
And him, every day at lunch, he would go get behind his car down below the road and smoke cigarettes. That's about all I remember about him.
When I went there, he was the mayor of Beckley and the principal. You know, mayor was a part-time job back then, and he was the principal and a mayor. And he coached basketball. He coached sixth grade basketball at that time. Leonard Sims was our eighth grade coach, and Mr. Miller coached the sixth grade. Now, sometime along that line, you started working at Step Dry Cleaners. How old were you when you started there?
I was 15.
15.
And in high school, they would drop me off there in the evenings, and I would work till almost dark, you know, and then head for home. And then during the summer, I worked all day, you know, and I was making $27 a week, saving money.
And the school bus would drop you off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And was there anybody else working there?
Well, some of the older people, yeah, I remember Garnet Richmond and some people. Some of them, they took a bus out on the road down in them hollers for cleaning and stuff like that. And but I never would go down in the other places with them. I didn't want to go down there.
You remember how much you got paid for working?
Yeah, $20 a week or 50 cents an hour.
I'll be darned. And you worked the counter most of the time,
I guess. Oh, yeah, and then I did the belts. I wasn't supposed to, but steam the belts and stuff, and you got stuff sorted out.
Now, most people don't realize that area was kind of a community by itself. Back in the old days, it was called Atkinsville. It was called Sylvia, and then just East Beckley.
East Beckley, yeah.
And there were Richmond Dry Cleaners. You had Beaver's Grocery. You had a liquor store. You had Hamp's Grill. You had furniture store. It was a community within the town. Actually,
you know, my Aunt Rhody, she lived over the liquor store in apartments. Her and her daughter Christina for imagine 3 or 4 years. I used to go to singings with her. Those quartets come to the Beckley to sing and stuff, and she loved that. Her daughter didn't like it, so I would go with her. And man, we had some good singing then. That's back when they had the quartets, and man, they were totally in tune. It was good. Good stuff.
Now, where did you go to St. Mary's mainly? When you went to church, or I remember going to Wesleyan Chapel, which was a Methodist church too, but.
No, I never did go to the other one.
You didn't?
Just Wesleyan Chapel.
Yeah. I know my brother Tommy was in the Boy Scouts over at St. Mary's, and
right.
Al Ellison, I think, was the leader, but I don't remember him going to the church there. And then after Reverend Thompson left the Wesleyan Chapel, then I started going to the church at the top of the hill on Clow Street. It was a basement for a long time. Roy Coe was the minister, and then they built a top there, Jones Memorial Baptist, and it's still there and doing fine. Now, during your high school career, I guess somewhere along the line, Frank came along. Where did he come from? Your first husband?
They came from Sprague, and the first thing I remember is Frank's brother Larry. He had roller skates and a chicken. He chased that chicken on roller skates all the time, and that's how we met the family. And what? Now that you brought it up, you and I were two of the people on Cloud Street, the married people on Cloud Street. So we got history here.
And he was chasing a chicken on those skates. Well, that'd make an impression.
It was. Yeah, Mom even said, man, that's a weird family. She didn't know he was going to marry into it.
Yeah, we used to have a swing or chair there on the side of the house, and when he would come over courting a little bit or whatever, I'd always come up there and sit beside you and him. He'd give me a nickel or a dime to go away. Then I'd go away.
Put it up and come back.
But I'd try to get rid of me. But now, you got married when you was, what, 17, 16?
Yeah, 16.
And did you live in Beckley or you went to Dayton?
I lived in Cow Street. You mean after I got married?
Yeah.
Yeah, I lived in a little place there on Valley Drive, a little apartment, just for about 2 months. And then we went to Dayton, Ohio. And Frank got a job at working on some kind of big spinning cement things that they use underwater.
How do you get the information from Dayton, Ohio? I mean,
his father lives there.
Oh, okay.
We lived with them for a little while.
Now, I remember they had a, y'all lived in a trailer up there.
Yeah, Airstream.
How long were you in Dayton?
About 3 years. Both kids were born there.
Uh-huh.
So maybe a little longer than that. And we moved to Virginia then when Joyce was just three months old. So she don't even remember anything about Dayton or anything like that.
Well, how did he end up in... I know he worked at Dulles Airport.
Okay, he worked for electrical company then at airport there in Dayton. And a company come in that was going to be working on Dulles Airport, and they hired him, and good pay, all the work he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So we made the big move, took our kids and our granny, she lived with us then, my husband's mother, and we moved to Virginia. We took a lot of people to Virginia.
Yeah, though, I don't know exactly what age I was, but it's when you guys lived out on the farm, and they didn't have cell phones back then or anything, and I don't know exactly how it started, but me and Mom and Mr. Kirby that lived down the road, he was looking for a job, and Mom told him, said, well, you can probably get hired up there if, you know, and he said, well, I think I'll go. And she said, well, we want to go visit. And only address we had was Chantilly, Virginia. It didn't have no address or anything. Well, you guys got your mail at Chantilly, but you live way out in the sticks. And we went up on a Sunday and looked all over the place for nobody knew who Frank Merritt was, nothing. And we had to sleep in a car, and it was hot. We rolled the windows down.
I didn't know you were coming. We didn't have phone.
Yeah, and then the next morning, after sleeping in a car, we went to Dulles Airport and found Frank. And he hired Mr. Kirby right on the spot. He had to work that day, and I know he was wore out. And Frank took us to the farm where y'all lived, and we stayed a week or so. I don't even know how we got home. I guess y'all brought us home, but for old Mr. Kirby, I know he had a hard time. But I don't know how he lived with you for a while, didn't he?
Yeah.
And
we took in a lot of people. I was thinking a while ago, even my brother-in-law, Larry, His father-in-law, Ashton Burth, he stayed with us a while up there in Dayton. He worked at the airport up there a while. So we had people from every side of every family. Ashton Burth was up there. when that John Kennedy was killed. We were all, they'd come home early that day for some reason, and we were all watching TV when that all went down, you know. And it's really sad. The kids saw us kind of crying. They were crying too. They didn't know why.
Yeah, I was in the eighth grade when that happened, and it was almost time for Thanksgiving vacation, and as a young student, when I first heard it, I didn't think it was that big a deal. I thought maybe we'll get out of school or something, you know, but then when I got home and it was all over the TV, you know, I realized it was a little more serious than that. Then Frank went into business for himself, didn't he? I mean, when did he decide to do that?
Well, when he met the connector that really had a good job and higher pay, and that's the whole deal, you know. Got an education in it, and then he knew what he was doing. He decided to try it.
Yeah.
And he had a pretty good business for a long time.
Well, then later on, you actually yourself, I mean, you've lived in Springfield and Annandale and Herndon and every place in the world. But later on, I mean, you yourself went in the restaurant business, didn't you? How long were you in that business?
About 3 years. That was hard work.
What kind of restaurant was it?
Seafood?
Yeah.
Right down from Andrews Air Force Base. As a matter of fact, I had a lot of students that went there, they took dentistry there, and I got good help through the Air Force, you know, hiring them because they didn't dare be late or mess up, you know, and had some good kids, and really had a good business going, but it was a lot of hard work.
I remember you sold crabs by the bushel, and half bushel, and that kind of stuff.
Used to sell $50 a bushel, now you pay $50 a dozen for them.
Wow. That's amazing.
Really? No kidding.
Well, you know, there actually is a restaurant in Washington now called Crazy Aunt Helen's Restaurant.
Oh, gosh, I didn't know that.
and it's a pretty elite restaurant. The senators and congressmen eat there. I think a hamburger is about $17.
Oh, man.
But my son John, I think, is one who told me about it. He said, hey, they named something after Helen. But, how long were you in Northern Virginia? You were up there.
I was up there probably 37 years total.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember when you moved back to Beckley. You went into, you kind of have your time in a way. You opened a business renting out recording.
Video machines.
Had them in different stores and rented tapes and those kind. And you actually had a store over at Mount Hope too, didn't you?
Yeah.
How long was you doing that?
Well, Junior's the one who took care of that. I didn't have much to do with that. He was probably over there a couple of years. I'm just not sure, you know. And he had got a pretty good little side business going, making tapes. There's people going down the river on rafts. He took pictures of them and had them ready to sell to the people when they got off the boat.
And of course they still do that. I mean,
yeah.
Of course now they have drones stuff like that. It's a little more advanced, but that was the first business of its type that sold that rented the videos but now with the stations, platforms like Netflix and stuff, people don't use tape. They don't watch tapes or DVDs or anything anymore. So Blockbuster is totally out of business, and it's just that's the way technology has advanced, I guess. Then you and I were in the rental business for a little bit, and that was an education. We didn't lose anybody. We did all right, you know. But it was an education. Learn a lot about people.
A whole lot.
So you've lived in Florida. How many years have you lived down here now?
8 years.
Before you left, you took care of our mom for 8 years, 8 or 9 years, and in the house. And And that was such a blessing. And my sister Judy helped as often as she could. And you made Mom's last years, you know, great, because she wouldn't have been happy anywhere else, I'm sure. But that had to have been pretty a big task, I'm sure.
Well, it was, but I was younger, and I did get to learn a whole lot more about my mother and how she grew up and her family. And I'm not patting myself on the back, but I think that's one of the best blessings I've ever had, is taking care of my mom in her last years. And I'm looking back, I would never have it any other way. It was great. It was great.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, she couldn't have been happier in that situation. Now, you've had some health issues yourself, you know, and as you get older, what kind of advice would you give someone, a young person now, if you had to give them advice? You've been in business, you travel. Let's talk about travel just a second. I know you've been up and down the East Coast, about everywhere. Any favorite place that you can recall?
I really like the Bahamas. Went on a cruise. Actually, I went on a cruise to the Bahamas, and it was a real estate classes. So we went to classes during the day, and then we partied half the night. And I really enjoyed it. And Iris really loved it. She didn't care much about real estate, but she liked the cruise. And I really enjoyed doing that. I enjoyed Arizona, but Arizona was so hot.
Yeah.
I went out there looking at those video machines and stuff. I like New York City. I love the food in New York City. Bob was worked for a lawyer's firm there out of Washington. And we'd go up once a year, and he'd do everything he'd done in the apartment and clean it. And we'd put new rugs down, different things, you know. And then they'd give us a credit card. They have our food, wine, whatever you want, delivered to the door if you want it. And we really enjoyed our time together. We'd go to Macy's and shop. I'd pick out flowers. And I says, does this pay extra? But we had a really good time together. And I really miss my son. But, you know, life goes on. We do the best we can. That's all we can do.
You know, let's go back a second. When Frank was running the concrete business up there, I started going, the first year I went up there, it was between the 9th and 10th grade. I was only about 14 years old, and Frank worked me for a couple weeks. I don't remember, it wasn't all summer, but I didn't weigh 100 pounds, and it was hard work, you know. And then got to go the next summer and work again. And of course I was a little bigger and older, and I had a driver's license. And then I went again when my dad was working for Frank and my brother. And that was special, you know, all of us together. But it was, the work was an education in itself. You know, I learned what hard work was, because there's none any, concrete and roofing are the two toughest jobs out there. And it's something I appreciate and I actually like, but I can't do it anymore. But I do appreciate when I see people doing concrete work and that kind of stuff. But what kind of advice would you give a young person that out there nowadays? To what to look for, or what to watch out for.
Do what makes you happy, what you'd be interested in, and don't put off until tomorrow. Do things today that are fun, that you enjoy, you know. And don't save the good china. Go ahead and use it. Somebody not using it, you might as well know. But the whole thing is, just don't take life too serious, you know. And be good to people, be kind. It'll come back to thank you 1,000 times. I mean, I learned through the way now that people that I had dealings with maybe 30 years ago are still sending me stuff for Christmas and calling me and checking on me, see if I'm okay. And that's a real special thing, you know, because most of the time your friends kind of drift off and you don't see a lot of them. But when you have someone like that, and it's really special. It means a lot to you.
That's
so
good.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it. You guys are doing it right.
That's good advice. That's good advice. And Helen, I thank you for talking to us. And I thank you for being my sister. And
wow.
for anybody else out there, if you want to be on our show, contact me at awbennett50@gmail.com. And remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. Until next time, God bless you.
Really put to